Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Godly defiance versus satanic compliance. I'm going to say that one more time. Godly defiance versus satanic compliance. Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, March 17th, 2022. I have a great show lined up for you, great program lined up for you today. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com. A man far ahead of his time. And folks, you're going to want to pay attention. This perhaps will be one of the most important shows. In fact, I encourage you to download this show. Please do that. Download it, save it, put it on a hard drive. The information that's going to be forthcoming is going to be critical for you and for all of us. Very quickly, before I begin, it's been a very, very difficult time period here at the Hagman household. And folks, I mentioned about my granddaughter, beautiful 3.5-year-old Maya. Just a beautiful, gorgeous young girl, a toddler, intelligent, sweet. She's in the hospital. She was rushed to Children's Hospital at about midnight last night, 3 o'clock, or she got there about 4 o'clock this morning. Diagnosis is, well, I'm not going to, I'll just say this. She's experiencing some organ failure. Folks, I ask each and every one of you to hold this sweet young girl in your prayers, hold her up in prayer. It is one of the most agonizing things I've seen. And I know I know people have trouble everywhere. Every family has got problems. But I humbly ask that you hold sweet little Maya up in your prayers for a full, complete healing and recovery. Thank you so much for allowing me to ask that. All right, with me is Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com. Steve, thanks for joining me today, and thank you so much for your patience in allowing me to do that.
Well, it's not a patience. And ladies and gentlemen, I asked Doug before we get into the topic if he would allow me to lead everybody in prayer. You know, the scripture is very clear. The Bible is very clear. We're to bear one another's burdens. And we're also needing to learn the difference between just praying and praying and believing. So I'm going to lead everybody in prayer for little Maya, because the Bible's clear also that healing is the children's bread. And I've been preaching and claiming miracles for all of those who listen to Doug and I and his listeners and my podcast and the people that I can influence that you've allowed us to speak into your lives. So let's bring it to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we bring little Maya to you. We rebuke this attack, this bacterial infection that has spread through her body. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak a miracle to her, Lord. We speak complete healing and a raising up. Lord, your people, your word declares your young men will be willing in the day of power. And God, we need men who are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We need believers, men and women who operate in the gifts of faith. And Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bind our hearts together based on your word, which says wherever two or more agree on earth as touching anything on earth, it will be done for us by our Father in heaven. And Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come against this attack upon little Maya. We come against this bacterial infection. We pray for a supernatural turnaround of events, even God, as we're on the air today. Because Lord, you said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And Lord, your people, our children, Lord, our heritage, our grandchildren, as in this case with Doug's granddaughter, are under attack like no time in history. And we rebuke in the name of Jesus the spirit of death over little Maya in Jesus' name. Lord, that she will come into her fullness of adulthood, and God, in the mighty name of Jesus, you will raise her up, and this miracle will establish her for the rest of her life. And again, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the power of death. I rebuke the power of Satan over her. I rebuke this bacterial infection. I command it to die. And Lord, I call for the Holy Spirit and from the four winds of Spirit of God, Lord, as Ezekiel did, to come and breathe upon little Maya in Jesus' name. And Lord, you said, call upon you in the day of distress, in the day of trouble, and you will hear. And God, so we bind our hearts in agreement for a miracle for little Maya in her life. In Jesus' holy name. And Lord, let it be an ongoing prayer in all of our hearts until we hear, Lord, that she has been totally healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And so be it, Lord, so be it. Lord, as you have spoken it, let it be done in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
And Lord, you know, Doug, thank you for letting us do that. Brothers and sisters and people, we're coming into a time where a lot of children are going to lose their parents. And I want to make this clear. Today, before I was going on the air, I got a message from my manager, Daryl, and he told me that he was talking to a woman, an elderly woman, who basically went through the Nazi period in Germany. She's pretty old, but she's very astute and very wise. And what's interesting is she said, America cannot see the, in her words, elaborate hoax. That's the same thing in my words that I was given a couple years ago. And I told you this whole thing with the Trump thing. But she said this, and this is what's weird, Doug. She said, be prepared, Christians, to take in a lot of orphan children. Now, I was up at 3 o'clock, or Doug, you could read the time, and I sent you the title for today's show. And I went back to sleep for a couple of hours and woke up, whatever, at 5. And the deal is the Lord said, be prepared to take young children into your home, Steve. Now, most of my grandchildren, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I guess. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I got 5. And I got 4. Whatever. I have grandchildren. But I think, ladies and gentlemen, just as we've been adopted by the blood of Jesus into the household of God, you know, there's a scripture, Doug. The Lord is very clear. He says he sets the solitary in families. And, you know, it's interesting because America has been basically bushwhacked, sidetracked, deceived, fed narratives that people yielded to the narratives and gave way to basically shaming rather than science behind all the mutagenic injections. And there's an excellent article on my website today by a lady author who nailed it. If you did not take the vaccine, you were being shamed. You were being publicly censored off of Faces of Death book, Twitter twatter, the blood will splatter. And the deal is that all social media is owned and lies in the evil one. It's astonishing to me. Even people that don't understand Ukraine said they're the face of the New World Order. Ukraine has been on record as making the statement they will be the poster nation for this. George Soros has been the one that's been funding this whole thing. And I want to make a statement. Propaganda is propaganda. It's not based on truth. It's based on narrative. The truth is not propaganda. Now, I'm on record too, Doug, and I think this is important. I'm sorry, I took my microphone out of the way. I'm on record as stating that, in essence, we have been under an elaborate hoax. It has everything to do with, if you will, the Pied Piper of perdition. It has everything to do with a masquerade. Remember, a masquerade based on mask, where even in the New Testament says God is no respecter of persons. That word is the Greek word for mask. And guess what? The masks were always associated with Greek tragedies. Now, I want people to keep that in mind. So as God is no respecter of persons, people who have illegitimate, treacherous evil in mind for destroying 9/10 of the population are wearing masks, especially the political hacks on the Potomac of self-indulgence.
And ladies and gentlemen, a mask is, you could wear a happy mask, which meant that during your dissertation to the audience, you were happy. A false mask. You could wear a demon mask in some of the Japanese kabuki and the different theaters. So every place that a theater is basically presented to the puppet, to the people, actually, I should say to the puppets, even in puppet shows, they always had different puppets to this is interesting, to get across the idea of the intent of either the, what the puppet is proving or proving, trying to get across, or what the mask is illustrating. I want to give you a good example of that. I am being called a Russian propagandist because I'm telling you about the defense capabilities and offense capabilities of Russian technology. For 20 years, I've been studying missiles. I've been studying some of the most advanced electronic weapon systems, all open source, or being told specific things by people that develop some of it. So when Dmitry Medvedev, I guess that's how you pronounce it, made the statement that Russia has the capability to bring the Russophobic and the blaming nations to their knees, he's not kidding. We have no capability to track some of their submarines. We have no capability to intercept their Satan II missiles. We have no capabilities. Now, if you think this is just Quayle being a propaganda a mouthpiece for Russia, let me share this. General Hyten, who used to be basically the head of Strategic Air Command, came out and said, we got a real problem, America. We can't intercept. And as a special operations general told me 15 years ago, Steve, we could maybe take on one theater of war. We can't take on both at the same time. So I categorically reject that. I even get emails from people saying, well, glad you're now over on the Patriot side because you're, you know, speaking out against Russia, against Ukraine. I'm speaking out about the orchestrated World War III that Lucifer himself is playing both sides against the middle. When people who are claiming to be patriots don't understand the spiritual nature of evil, then they can't understand, Doug, the times they have. They will take a political position. They will take a patriot position. They will take an evil federal position. They'll take either pro-government, anti-government. They'll take a pro-vaccine or an anti-vaccine. And ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, it's divide and conquer. So the title for today's show, is real simple. Godly defiance or satanic compliance. The book of Hebrews tells us, and yeah, I am preaching today because we've got to understand in failing to identify the enemy, we are failing to win the battle. In trying to do it in our own strength, in our own might, in our own understanding, you know, and this is not me taking the name of the Lord in vain, but I have people saying, by God, we're America, we'll prevail. You can't when God has spoken judgment over a nation. Doug, on your show, we've given a preview to what's coming in the world as far as the finances and the digital currency that's being bantered around now. As most people know, we're watching interest rates now coming back with a fury. It's not yet apparent to the average person who can still eat or still eat a little. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be starved into submission. So I want you to consider four points today. And it's really critical. What will you have to do to raise your social credit score? What will you and I have to do to raise our valid eater score to increase our food rations? Now, remember the word rations. What will I have to do to raise our travel freedom score? And the most important thing, what will you have to do to raise your health score to gain access to medical help? In case people haven't seen it coming into play, if you don't buy the lie, you will be denied. You will be denied food, health care. You'll be denied the ability to even transact business. You're already predetermined to get a given amount of calories according to the UN devils, according to the globalists. Not only, Doug, I think most people miss it, that in the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, one of the most, well, they're all important, but famine is coming in to the American, if you will, vocabulary like no other time in history. Let me give you a good example. I live in Bozeman, Montana. In Three Forks, Montana, which is basically the headwaters of the Missouri River, one of the biggest wheat growers in the United States, Wheat Montana, which used to have wheat buckets and wheat beads. And in the days that I was in the food business during Y2K, a couple of years before and a year after, actually 3 years before and a year after, we bought, pun intended, but tons and tons of wheat, literally vast amounts of wheat that we incorporated into our basic food pack. So I'm very familiar. But a friend of mine who is a farmer, who is a rancher, sent me a really important email this morning. I guess my morning should be everybody else's day, and everybody else's day should be my night. But the thing is that Wheat Montana does not have, evidently, the wheat to even put into surplus. Now, I don't know enough about it. I'm not blaming them. But ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that years ago, and some of you listened to me then, Doug, and I was on your show talking about this, that FEMA and before the Department of Homeland Security, it was FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Act, that basically went to every single community across the United States, farms, ranches, livestock producers, slaughterhouses, food storage locations, meat lockers, and got an assessment of every local town or every local county's ability to feed a population of X number of people under whatever different crisis came. Well, that sounded like a good idea then until people started speaking out. And I was one of the people to speak out against it then. Look, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't about that. This is about, at some point in the future, the rationing of all food. And at that point, they were ratcheting up the rationing. So again, Doug, I want to leave these 4 points. What we have to do to raise your social credit score. You remember, and I want you to feedback on that if you would. I don't just want this to be a diatribe by Steve, but the point is that people never believed me when the 300 plus corporations, high technology corporations, went to China to basically have freedom from the laws of the United States to develop the social credit score system that China now uses to the final and infinite point and bring it into the United States. You remember that?
I do. And all of this, everything that we're seeing today, Steve, I believe, and folks, I believe this is interrelated, whether it's the situation in Ukraine or whether it is the open southern border while we send troops over to Europe to shore up other borders. It's all related. The coming food shortages that you've spoken of, the lifestyle based on your behavior according to the social credit system, digital currency, the collapse, the intentional collapse of our monetary system, all of this, including, and I want to toss this in addition to what you said, Steve, 61,000, and this was proven, based on CDC data, the mutagenic jabs killed some 61,000 Americans just last year, and this was released by information from Edward Dowd, a former BlackRock portfolio manager. So, to get back to what you were saying, everything is in play. We are seeing godly defiance versus satanic compliance, and that will be the hinge point, I believe, this satanic compliance. You want to eat, you bow down to our God, Moloch, Satan, whatever, or defy that and, of course, go hungry and starve. So all of this together, Steve, in my view anyway, all of this has been set in motion. In fact, the way you laid out a quarter of a century ago when I listened to you on Art Bell, and you were describing things of this nature. And now it's here, and people are not connecting in many cases. The biblical aspect of things versus the reality of the way things are. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think, Doug, too, you know, it's always tough to embrace things when they're really good and basically to even deal with the future. It's critical because I think the problem that is facing America, we've lost our first love. All of our national emblems, our national anthem, our Pledge of Allegiance, that's been systematically destroyed. Our history has been stolen from our children. In places, a virtual batch of nonsense and great evil. Parents had, because of the price inflation and the, if you will, the cost of everything increasing, two families had to go to work. Now, some people sacrificed and they said, the husband's going to work, the mom's going to stay home with the kids. I categorically rebuke the satanic lie that it takes a village to raise a child. What I think most professing claimants to Christianity have the problem with is they want everything to stay good. And I do too, but I understand the prophetic implications of when it doesn't. And therein lies the problem. When I was telling people to prepare, and again, as someone who started the preparedness business with others, I wasn't the only guy. I inherited it from guys like Mel Tappan. I inherited from the people that were talking. Mel Tappan was the author of Survival Guns, probably one of the foremost thinkers of his day. There were others, but in those days, there was Survival Inc., there was Nitro Host, there was me, Safe Trek, there was others, Walton Feed in Idaho, but there were about five of us that pretty well, and that's how short the supply was and the support, how the production was, that pretty well tried to get people to understand. Prepping is a pioneer spirit. The pioneer spirit is what made America what it is today. People took risks. People spent their lives. People were willing to lay down their lives in the early years of the military. That's all gone now. What I see is a mockery. And look, I've never been in the military. So, you know, if I speak out a tune on rank or those of you who have fought, I have fought my whole life for veterans on public shortwave, public radio, different AM, FM stations, to the point I was banned from VA hospitals, and anybody who listened to me or even mentioned my name had to go and meet a shrink. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that's how bad, if you will, in those days, probably still the same, the veterans issue is. Now, what's happening in the last 5 days, and I think people need to understand this, it's World War III coming. The Antichrist cannot come on the scene. The Antichrist is a person. It's not a system. It's not what happened when Antiochus Epiphanes slaughtered a pig on the altar of the temple of God. That's not it. But Doug, people have a hard time recognizing, because basically the food we eat has been poisoned. The air we breathe is being poisoned, has been for the past 25 years. And the reason it's been poisoned is through chemtrails, geoengineering, and all that stuff precipitates out into the crops. And so now we're dealing with, everything like glyphosates. We're dealing with stuff that's designed to destroy our body. And if God didn't create us so marvelously and wonderfully, and as the scripture says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we'd all have been dead. Now, that's what they want. And if Jesus made the statement to all those who claim to be Christians that if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, there'd be no flesh left alive, no human flesh or normal animal flesh, then I don't think Jesus is lying about it. And I don't think that the UN and all of their bastions of bastards from the spawn of hell, a bastard is a term that was used in the book of Enoch to describe the offspring of the fallen angels and the earth women, what we know as giants, what we know in the Bible as mighty men of renown, what every myth and legends worldwide refers to. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's not a swear word, but I find that people are more offended at the most minuscule things, and they forget the big picture. And the big picture is America is a nation of blood. I get people saying, I'm praying against you. You're a negative man. God would never judge the United States. And I say, ma'am, and all of your brew of let's just say this, religious witches, you guys will be literally watching it happen because your words will come back to bite you. Do I want the destruction of the United States? Not at all. Is it a popular subject matter? Not at all. When Hillsong and churches like that have the naked cowboy on their stage, literally, I can give people the video. Do you tell me that there's any fear of God in the land? There is no fear of the God in the land. The scripture is very clear. The Bible's clear. And that's why the Bible will be banned. That's why Christians will be murdered. I hate it, Doug. I hate it. But what more can I do when it comes to Russia, when it comes to Ukraine, when it comes to NATO, when it comes to all this? I'm about one thing, and that is stopping. I can't stop it altogether. It's prophetic. But if I can prolong it, because once a plot is exposed, by the way, Satan never runs out of them, but once it's spoke, they have to regroup. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm on record as years ago. And this isn't, quote, because I'm a megalomaniac. It's because I have been tasked. Believe me, I wish it wouldn't have been so. I wish God couldn't have had another calling. But then am I calling God, he doesn't know what he's doing? No, that's not what I'm saying. But God uses foolish things or foolish ones in the eyes of the world to confound the world. And when he said, who will go? Who will go? I said, send me, Lord. Because I've been a black sheep in the religious world. I choose to be a black sheep. I don't want to be one of them. And I don't see in Scripture, Doug, where groups get it. It's usually a man or a woman of God, Queen Esther. It's usually a Deborah. It's usually a Rahab that gets it. And people don't understand. Probably the greatest sermon of God's love and forgiveness is Jesus with the woman at the well. So I get a furious kick out of the women's movement that when the Western women's movement that is all about women's rights, when we were watching the slaughter of absolute Middle Eastern women, when we were watching the slaughter of women all over the world, when we were watching the murder of their children, when we're watching now the women and all of the side effects, ladies and gentlemen, it's not hyperbole to make the statement in any way, shape, or form that we are undergoing extinction protocols right now. And all you need to do is read Revelation 6 to see war, famine. And Doug, it was on your show, I think I said, or referred to it the day after I did a podcast, that I had the strongest impression, and I said it. People say, oh, he's crazy. He says he hears from God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and another will they not follow. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the whole goal of all that's evil is to silence the voice of the living God. Most Christians read Ephesians 6 casually, never applying it to their own life. And because of the authority that God gave to mankind, that Adam and Eve relinquished, that Jesus reestablished, Satan has to use men and women to move through because he knows the limitations that God has placed on him. That God has actually placed on Lucifer limitations. And I have been able, through the Glyph Project, to basically have a smart team around the world. I can't read them, Doug. They have to read them and tell me. The bottom line is that we've shown them on your show. But one of the most important ones is that, listen to this. This is why I said earlier on the social credit score. The thing is, Lucifer's direct commandment to his legions of fallen angels, well, I don't believe that. Again, this is to believers who can't basically put into the context of what's going on. I said the word normal would never be used again. Gee, how many people wouldn't believe that at the time it was said? Now they believe it.
That was the most in. I don't even know how to describe that. When you said that, and the pushback that came, saying, "Oh, you know, that's hyperbole. That's pretty hyperbolic. It's not true. We're gonna get through this." Think of where we were when you said that versus where we are now, folks. Understand, are you getting it now? I guess that's my question to all the listeners and viewers. Are you getting it now? I know the core people are, but the new people who are coming in and listening to this perhaps for the first time, do you understand how important that statement is? Normal is going to be rationing of food based on your behavior, based on this surveillance grid control system that Steve has been talking about for decades. It's finally here. So, Steve, I want to thank you for saying that when you said it to prepare people for today. Otherwise, the preparations, many people would not be as prepared today as they are now, and we need to bring more people into that prep situation quickly. So thank you for really being that lighthouse in the night, if you will. Thank you for that.
Well, Doug, thank you. But here's the deal. I have one passion, okay? I do. I really have one passion. The Bible's very clear. He who winneth souls is wise. As someone who's seen Jesus face to face, I wasn't hallucinating. I wasn't on drugs. As someone who's literally been translated to the judgment seat of Christ 2 years after that, I believe it's 2 years, maybe a year and a half, literally, and Jesus looking down at me, I saw Jesus twice now, and face to face. It wasn't a dream, it wasn't a vision, and he looked at me, and he said, Steve, why when I've given you so much have you done so little? And I was on fire then, and that changed my life forever. I said, forgive me, Lord. And immediately I was back out of the presence of the heavenly judgment seat of Jesus. And I was taken out of, and for those who like cars, I was taken out of a Porsche 928 doing about really fast. And if you know how fast, I'll just leave it at that so I don't get, secondary trouble saying, well, you said on. No, I was going really fast. If you understand the speed parameters of a non-U.S. tuned down Porsche 928S. By the way, I sold it to a friend of mine whose, I think it was son-in-law, took it out and rolled it at 120 miles an hour. That was just basically, that was just starting speed and walked away miraculously. That's how well that car was built. So that's just a little car talk and a real incident. But I think the prime directive is faithfulness. I want literally to bring the wow back into the people of God's life. I want the people of God to understand the fear of the Lord is like this, not like this. These people who are going to put their hands up in the air and basically say, save us, who are they praying to at that point? Lucifer? Save us from the glory of he who is coming back. The second coming is coming. And yet people look for a political solution to a spiritual problem. That's another thing I said. After I said the word normal will never be used again, I said, forget the word selection. Selection will give way to availability. I said that before we went on lockdown. I made it very clear. And then I said, after that, I said, availability will give way to basically having to take whatever is presented at whatever price. In other words, you can't just talk about meat going up 20% in 1 month or whatever, or your fuel prices. It's availability. I have been told behind the scenes from people in the oil industry, well, that's not happened yet. It's a typical response. Well, you haven't experienced a nuclear launch. Now, I'm going to make it clear. I understand there are people that do not believe this will, this whole situation will play out in a nuclear launch and multiple nuclear missiles? Again, it's not me, but it's the people that are in a position to know. I said again, I've been warning about Russia's advanced weaponry and what does it take? Does it take propaganda to undermine me? I remember talking about suitcase nukes, Doug, literally, and people can look this up. I never printed a book called Lucifer's Luggage, Suitcase Nukes in America. And one of your listeners went on and I talked about the book and it was going to be released. I don't know why I didn't release it at that point. I just have to assume it wasn't time. And you can look it up, Lucifer's Luggage, Suitcase Nukes in America. I was on either Art Bell or George Norrie at that point. That's how long ago it was. But every time I would talk about suitcase nukes and those who were in, the backpack nuke part of Delta Force, I hired one of those guys. He said, Steve, I was a member of the Blue Light Team. That's what it was called. And so God has been gracious to bring the people that know. And you know what's neat, Doug? I don't have to go searching for it. I mean, I can research stuff on ancient history, but when people hear your broadcast, they contact me. When I'm on Coast to Coast, and by the way, I think I'm going to be on Coast to Coast next Tuesday. And it's interesting. And just to put some things into perspective, now, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the most elaborate hoax orchestrated on the people of the world. I do not believe that this will not end in a nuclear exchange. I have people that I respect. They argue with me. I know there are people smarter, but it's not a question of smart. It's a question of, is God real? Does he love his people? Absolutely, yes. Does he say his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? Absolutely, yes. But not because he doesn't present it, but because people reject it. The word of God is the foundation. And I don't have my Bible handy because it's over there. I mean, I got stuff all over my office. But the point is that God is not a man that he should lie. Yet people who basically have rejected Christians, what is it? George Barna said 28% of Christians still even hold that the Bible holds the word of God, but only 4% of those. Now, isn't it interesting? 4% of Christians that claim to be Christians even have a biblical worldview anymore. Doug, doesn't that blow your mind? 4%.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
It doesn't surprise me, given the fact that the lead-up time, the prep time, if you go back 60 years, we took God out of the schools 60 years ago. What does that do to our children? What does that do to our morality? What does that do to us as a society? What does that do to, I mean, it's nothing but destructive. And to see the decline since that point in time, as one example. But we have turned our backs to God. And you know, it's easy for someone to pick up a newspaper, you know, and see, oh, war in Ukraine, okay, and not pick up a Bible and understand the context in which they're reading current events versus biblical prophecy. That's my two cents.
Well, absolutely. And here's the thing. The headlines of the day are the headlines of the day, but the declaration of Scripture, and I find it interesting. One time I did and I had others who are really statistically oriented, look at the amount of words, the book of Revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Revelation is about. I even watch Ancient Aliens, of course. I watch a lot of the different stuff on the History Channel, not all of it, but I'm telling you, there is no other context. Even the world has to use it and mock it. When Pastor Paul Begley, I mean, some of the British press just goes wild. But you know what? They quote more scripture than any headlines in America, or they don't allow some moronic misquoting of scripture. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, because again, I made the statement, I stand by it. We are now on the verge and precipice of nuclear war, unless God's time is not this time. But based on what's going on in Ezekiel 38, and ladies and gentlemen, Ezekiel 38 is a Mideast war, but it involves Gog and Magog, which interestingly enough are the two giant protectorates of the city of London. I've tried to teach people that. It's not just, let's say, you know, what I'm going to read to you. By the way, one of my favorite authors, I don't flatter him, but I absolutely appreciate his knowledge of history. And he's off talk radio now and for a bunch of reasons. And Eric, if you put up Ezekiel 38, this is from Doug McIntosh. You've heard him. He's been out there 20 years ago. And I used to post all, when the internet came into being, I used to post every story that he would write because it's that critical. And by the way, I'll put up the link, Doug. I'll send you the link. He's got the best, I would say this, overview of the coming Gog, Magog, and Gomer war. That's Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, this is critical because Israel just bombed pretty much all of Iran's drones. I mean, they got a lot of them. And Iran made the statement that they're going to retaliate instantly. Now, this is really critical, ladies and gentlemen, because Russia has moved weapons into Iran, nuclear weapons, over-the-horizon radar, phased array radar, which can see all stealth weaponry, and S-500 and S-550 anti-missile systems, and not only anti-missile systems, but the ability, ASAT weaponry. ASAT weaponry is anti-satellite weaponry. This is for military satellites. So I want to read this, and Doug, we'll put up the link for the show where people can order this on Amazon. And I want people to consider this, because when Doug wrote this, and you know, we're talking 20 years ago, I think, and I could be wrong on that because there's so much going on right now in my head, but this is out of the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. And this is just the preface, because I want people to not only see a different view, because we're always told Gog, Magog, Rosh, all that, but Doug was one of the only people, to my knowledge, and I was one of the other two, independently arriving at basically what he's presented here, because it wasn't just the revival of the Holy Roman Empire, but it was the rising up or the raising up of the Arab Confederacy. And again, this was so contrary to most of the, you know, standard teaching. It just is really, really critical. I'll read it. And this isn't super long. And thank you, Eric, for scrolling down. Preface, Ezekiel chapter 38, decoded. Ezekiel, tell Gog, or the former Soviet Union, and this is what he's saying, that God thinks the leader of Russia is a fool. Ezekiel, tell Gog, leader of Russia. Remember, this is written almost 20-some years ago. That God despises him. Tell Gog that I, the living God, will cause an economic depression so severe in the Commonwealth of Independent States, it will make you despair. Your army will live in tents and plot coups. Your young men will become whores to earn money. Gee, that sounds like the United States. You will, and this is when they come against the Middle East. You will deploy your entire military, your mechanized infantry, and Cossack horsemen armed to the teeth, and a great horde of soldiers and T-80 tanks and military vehicles, Hind helicopters and MiG aircraft, with all your men waving their AK-47s and cursing God, the Jews, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, with the ex-Soviet Union, Muslim republics, Soviet Muslim republics, Sudan, with the Horn of Africa, also Muslim West and North Africa, will be with your horde. They will all be well supplied with modern military weapons. This is Doug's commentary. It's not the word of God, word for word. They will be well supplied with modern military weapons, Germany and Eastern Europe, Ukraine and Minsk and St. Petersburg from the far north. This is the Islamic Confederacy commanded by God. And so verse 7, go to red alert, be combat ready, Gog, commander of the Islamic Confederacy. You will be summoned at the right time to fulfill prophecy. In the last days, you'll invade an Israel which has recovered from 2,000 years of desolation and war. Israel now lives unafraid of another Holocaust in a prosperous garden of irrigated desert. But you, Gog, with your Islamic Confederacy, will blitzkrieg Israel, advancing like a Hurricane Andrew over the land. Verse 10, this is what the living God says. In the last days, Gog will listen to Satan's hissing. To my knowledge, There's two people that have used that word hissing, Doug McIntosh and I. And I based it on Jeremiah, where there's eight verses in the whole Old Testament, majority in Jeremiah, Doug, that talk about that we become a hissing in the nostrils. We, the United States, separate apart from Doug dealing with Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38. And right now we're watching that in real time. There are nations that have holding us in disgust after Afghanistan, and the body of the American public and the body politic, which the political whores on the Potomac of self-indulgence, both Republicans and both Democrats, have not ever held the administration or the military responsible for the abandonment of 9,000 U.S. citizens. 9,000! And I think the one statement that came out blamed Trump for it. You know, blame Trump for everything. And I blame Trump for the whole vaccine, taking credit for it and the fast-tracking of it, and then never mentioning all the deaths by it, never mentioning it. And then, the sanitation and the separation of the truth from public shaming, you know, the mask of the beast. And I said this, and it's a true statement. The mask of the beast, the mark of the beast, the basically destruction by the beast. Now, Eric, put that right back up because I just want to finish it. It doesn't have much more. You'll be summoned at the right time to fulfill prophecy. In the last days, you will invade Israel, which is recovered, and I went on there. This is what the living God says. In the last days, Gog will listen to Satan's hissing and will cunningly plan a murderous deception, a new Holocaust for the Jews. God will say, I will invade these unsuspecting Jews living in condos and apartments. I will despoil them of their property and use the plunder to bribe my own people. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. The idea of the Islamic Confederacy is no more present right now, thank you, Eric, than in Operation Sandman. Operation Sandman is the gradually accelerating repudiation of the U.S. dollar, and that's what the digital dollar is all about. John Whitehead, in a fabulous article, talked about, don't be so quick to embrace the digital dollar. The digital dollar will mean the digital assassination of anyone who does not take the mark of the beast, because we're that close. People can deny it. I mean, we have, by real estimates, I'm talking real estimates, probably a minimum of 100 million people dead worldwide of the CV-19 gain-of-function bio-weaponized form of basically a coronavirus. So when the truth is the first casualty of any war, where are the people even protesting? They're cooperating in their own demise. And I'll make this statement. 90% of current claimants to Christendom will flip and take the mark of the beast. The only exception will be as the beast shows up and you are given the choice to either accept or reject Jesus Christ and take the mark, we'll have the two witnesses literally on the scene, visible, literally people. You cannot kill an ID in the streets of Jerusalem and have it resurrected 3.5 years after their prophecies. It can't be done. It's ludicrous for people to claim, oh, those guys, the two witnesses, were the Old Testament and the New Testament. Wrong. The ignorance of the teaching of the Word of God is astonishing, astounding, and not only this, but logic-defying for those who claim it. Thank you, Eric. God bless you, brother. Digital tyranny. Beware of the government's push for a digital currency. 141, I think as of today, it was updated to 155 nations are signing on to a gold-backed ruble standard / gold-backed yuan standard, Chinese, or basically a combination of both. I have seen the most ludicrous statements coming from should know better financial guys saying, well, Russia has only 1,500 tons of gold. Wrong. They have 15,000 tons of gold. Big difference. Russia also has a law that any gold mined in Russia has to stay in Russia. Oh, and by the way, is it a lie? Is it subversion? Is it Russian propaganda to say that Russia cut off 80% of the fertilizer supplies that they supplied to the world? Platinum and palladium, Doug. Platinum and palladium are controlled by the Russians. Platinum and palladium are two of the most important, along with the platinum group metals, the most elements on Earth, especially for cold fusion and cold anything that's a, cold fusion and basically anything that is high or are utilized in high-tech weapons. The best buy in the precious metals market, and yes, this is a pitch, but it's a pitch for palladium or platinum. When I first started talking about palladium, it was $80 an ounce. That was whatever, 25 years ago. And I got up to $3,000 an ounce a couple of weeks ago, and then it's down back to about $2,500. But platinum can still be, how do I say this, purchased at about half the price of gold. There is no realistic spot price anymore. Good example, silver eagles. The spot price of silver was, I think, $25 yesterday. The cost of buying them is $35 from the mint. And most dealers sell them for $40, knowing it's the last time that those of us in the precious metals business will have access to them. So I hope people understand this. Silver is the most manipulated market in the world. It also will become the most important element in the years ahead. Because again, with the silver and all the technology associated with it, there's been an intentional, manipulated, illegal shorting of the market in the paper silver market, but the physical silver market availability is basically becoming, for instance, now I'm an exception to this, but it can take up to 6 weeks to get silver. I only sell silver that I can deliver, and we tell everybody how long it is. For instance, you know, storehouses, and I bought, and a friend of mine bought a lot of silver, and he said, look, I'll just put it in a vault, and if you sell it, sell it. Well, those are silver maple leaves, and silver maple leaves are right now about $36, $37 an ounce. Remember, U.S. Eagles are about $40 an ounce. And the Canadian Mint is having a problem. U.S. Mint said, we're running out of silver. U.S. Mint said that. Our gold distributor is saying, hey, we're sometimes now getting 4 weeks out on gold bars. Fortunately, U.S. Gold Eagles and U.S. Gold Buffaloes, and the Gold Buffalo and the Gold Eagle differ this way. A Gold Eagle has 1 ounce of pure gold plus a little copper. But a gold buffalo, and I love the design of those, like an Indian head nickel or a buffalo head nickel, not Indian head, buffalo head nickel, is basically the probably one of the most beautiful coins that the U.S. Mint has ever put out. And it's pure gold, 24 karat. If you remember the old Western movies, when you see somebody biting into a gold coin, 24 karat gold is kind of soft. But when you alloy it with copper, it becomes harder. So that's why the old Western movie always showed somebody putting a gold coin in their mouth and biting on it. Not all of them, but some of them. So where are we at now? Our strategic minerals that came from Russia, cut off from the U.S. What I'm trying to say is that insane, if you will, all and the sanctimonious blocking Russia from the world markets is going to affect the United States worse than anybody. Already, people who are farmers and all, they contact me from all over the United States and all over the world, even Australia, places, Canada, places that have been known for their wheat production. Remember when Rhodesia, most people don't remember this, but Rhodesia used to be the third largest, I think, exporter of wheat in the world, the United States, Canada, and then it was Rhodesia, which now became Zimbabwe. So when the communists took over Rhodesia, overthrew Ian Smith's government, the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, their inflation shot through the roof, where it used to take, I think, you know, 1 shilling to buy an egg. Now it takes 1 million, maybe 50 million. So what we're seeing is the repudiation of the U.S. dollar. That should scare most people who own stocks, bonds, mutual funds, are looking at a payout on their defined benefit plan, are looking at retirement, because I'm not telling people that to scare them. I'm telling you, India is now going to take the Chinese currency, the yuan, and for different, they're going to trade in other money. Most people don't understand the petrodollar. The petrodollar, in the days it was predominant, it no longer is. It's being repudiated. Both Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi, were murdered because they were going to shift to a gold standard. But now, ladies and gentlemen, in order to offset the abandonment of the U.S. dollar, and if I could tell everybody, Doug, the date of that, I would. But the day comes when that dollar, the U.S. dollar, will be repudiated in what's called force majeure, and it's spelled M-A-J-E-U-R-E. Some people pronounce it majeure. I'm told, you know, it can be pronounced either way. A J is silent. But the point is that that means that a coordinated effort, and I believe it's now up to 155 nations, are going to say we will not take the U.S. dollar any longer for any of our commodities. What do you think that will do, Doug, to people's panic level and the availability of goods and the way they used to eat, the way they used to pay for gas? What will it do?
Good night. Last one, leaving the building, turn the lights out. We are right now at that point, are we not, where the U.S. dollar, as the world's reserve currency, because of the printing presses, really, is going to be worthless. I mean, think of Venezuela, perhaps, right? I mean, is this not what we're talking?
Well, yeah, we are, but Venezuela has one unique property that most of the world doesn't even recognize. They have the largest oil supply in the world.
Well, and guess who has we do too, them? Though. I mean, we have a significant supply of oil. It's just not, as you pointed out, I think last time, the refining capabilities have been let go by previous regimes in the White House. But okay, go ahead.
Well, and that's true. And again, just now we have the most devastating prices on gas. And so here's a question I get, and I really want to try and answer this for people. I have people, new guys that are economists, multiple PhDs, guys who are scientists, multiple PhDs, guys who are advisors to some of the most advanced scientific projects that exist in the world, including the secret space program, including the Star Wars defense, who really do understand this stuff. People who have been kicked out of the military rather than take the vaccination. People who are very, very bright. And that's, again, I want to make this clear, Doug. It's not what you know, it's who you know that can tell you the what that you need to know. So I operate on a very simple principle. What God wants me to warn the people, I warn the people. But I'm not the originator of it. Now, can I validate and verify everything? No. But I can tell you this. I just got a call from Hal Turner, and I am in a house court more than most people can understand, because I even reached out to some of the people that are the biggest. Now, has Hal missed a few? Yeah. And he's admitted it. The whole story of smallpox wasn't false. The images were. I've told people this. I've had a lieutenant colonel from NORAD in my office years ago, and he was weeping. He was a friend of mine. His dad and I went to college together, and I think at one point he had a crush on my daughter, Stephanie. But he came in, he said, Steve, I want you to know something. He said, every time you go on the radio, I didn't solicit him. He walked in my door. Every time you go on the radio, we have teams of people that pretend to be other people that discredit you in every realm they can. And he said, you're making points. He was a Christian. You're making points, but you've got to understand, in making points, everyone out there, he talked about three-letter agencies will do everything they can to dissuade, to discourage, to undermine, to attack your character, to threaten you, to threaten your family, which, Doug, You lived in the real world with me at that time. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how Doug and I became friends, was due to all the Islamic death threats against me coming out of certain phone booths and which part of New York was it, Brooklyn or Manhattan or whatever.
It was Brooklyn, and it was right by the mosque there, the terrorist mosque in Brooklyn I forget the name of the avenue, but I'll tell you what. Yeah. And it was a real thing, folks. I got to tell you what Steve and his family went through during that period of time. People would not believe, and it was absolutely incredible and a very credible threat that the authorities wouldn't even do anything about. So there you go.
A special agent in charge in Bozeman tried to get the regional office to investigate it, and he came back to me, and he was a believer. He's no longer with the Bureau. And said, Steve, he said, I'm sorry, but he said, they want you dead. That was from a special agent in charge. I'm telling you guys, they call them what, SACs or SAICs. And so all I'm trying to say is this, is that you have to seek God like you've never sought him at any time in your life before. Because there's never been a time like this in your life before. And Doug, this is the hardest thing. And again, I wish the United States of America still had truth, liberty, and justice for all. I still wish they had equal justice under the law. But are you watching even Jesse Smollett or Smollett faked his whole race crime thing and he walks in 6 days? Are you even care? Do you concern yourself with 450 plus, I don't know the actual count right now, of people that were just in a freedom rally called by Donald Trump, and they rot away in the D.C. Jail? I believe, what is it, either one or two have committed suicide?
At least one.
At least one. And what they're subject to is so heinous. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, 20 of the most dangerous terrorists have been released from Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay. And just so you know, at one point, I still am friends, but he's gone to some other part of the world. We haven't talked maybe in 2 years. But the commandant of Guantanamo Bay was my friend. He still is. And when all the nonsense was going on about, oh, this person, this political is in Guantanamo Bay, you know, all the nonsense, the BS of Q Anonymous, the BS of the White Hats, the BS of, you know, the White Dragon Society, all that stuff was absolutely false. And Doug, I remember telling you, and I even posted, I can't remember how long ago, by a Brigadier General, what he was saying, and he gave a marvelous, marvelous testimony, and I wish I could remember what year that was posted, because I'd repost it. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I have 100,000 stories posted, and then some of those aren't even active links anymore. But the point is, and by the way, I changed webmasters. Back, I think, in 2000, and I don't know, I could look on my photos of the day, but the first year of the photos of the day when I switched, and I had massive amounts of stories posted. Now, I want to get back to what Hal Turner just said. He just called me. When I say just called me, when an hour before we started doing this show and the interview, and he said, Steve, I'm really worried. And I said, Hal, I am too. Our sources are different. Our sources are, when I say worlds apart, literally, literally opposite sides of the globe. But the same thing, the people that are expatriates or expats are saying, what's going on in America? Do they not see what's going on? Can people not see? And my statement is, no, my brother, no, my sisters, because we are under a great delusion. We have lost our first love, the living God. When Barack, the Obama nation that made our country desolate, made the statement, America's no longer a Christian nation, he was accurate. But what most people don't understand is when he said, America's the greatest nation in the world, we intend to change all that. I ask you this, show me where America now is respected. And I'll tell you this, nowhere, maybe Australia, maybe Great Britain, but Great Britain is toast if it tries to basically shut down the Straits of Gibraltar. So, Doug, again, what I'm trying to get people to understand is this. There is no more time. I literally used to have a giant hourglass. It was probably about, I don't know, maybe almost 30 inches tall. And one time, it's on that shelf back there where my trumpet is, my lion pictures. And by the way, those are two containers of tea. One of them's green tea and one of them's pomegranate. That's just to remind me to drink my tea. And they're both antioxidants and et cetera, et cetera. But what happened was weird. I don't know if you remember seeing it. I think it was on my podcast. I turned and the hourglass broke and put sand and glass all over my floor. And it was not lost on most of my viewers at that time because I just got through saying, and I think maybe I threw my arms up or something, we're out of time, folks, and we're on the last breaths of freedom. And then the hourglass breaks on my floor. Do you remember that?
You could not have time. You couldn't have done that. That was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. And relevant to the second and to the moment in that presentation. Go ahead.
One of the things I'm so astonished about is that I think it's a third of the Americans believe that it's okay to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine, but they don't understand that those weapons that will be countered are going to be used against the United States. We're encircled right now, and those of you who are military buffs should understand. Russia has what are called black hole subs. They can't be detected. They've actually surfaced to either the starboard or port, right or left side of aircraft carriers, just surfaced and then gone down in the water, submerged, and we couldn't even track them when they surfaced, the subs. Then we have the understanding when we started talking, and by the way, we didn't talk, we moved nuclear weapons into the theater in which Russia was complaining they needed a buffer. Am I asking people questions? Why are everybody in favor of the provocation of war against Russia when we're the ones that provoked the war in Iraq? We're the ones, the United States, provoked the war in Afghanistan. We're the ones that have provoked the war pretty much, obviously, in Vietnam, in my opinion. We have been responsible for the major military provocations that have taken place. Whether you believe in the military industrial complex, obviously General Butler explained it, Eisenhower defined it, and Smedley Butler. And the point I think that I need to make with everybody, we have presented ourselves as the most hypocritical nation world. Now, I want to make it clear, I love my country. I've been told, get the hell out. Tell you what, you better understand how precarious it is. And the word cavalier, I use the word cavalier. It's kind of like, who cares? Go back to what I said. America, we're going to have so many orphan kids. Expand your heart. Tell the Lord, Lord, if you can afford it, if you can't afford to feed your family, don't, God won't call upon you that unless he miraculously provides for it. The cities of refuge, the places that God's going to lead his people, the remnant. Here's the greatest problem I see, Doug, is when I explained to people what's going to happen under the social credit score. I want everybody to understand, if you're a Christian, that will be your order of execution, lest you reject, renounce Jesus, and absolutely worship the world leader. I don't know how far that is out, but I'm on record. I believe the seals have been opened. I believe the four horsemen, the apocalypse, are underway. And it's interesting because those people that claim they're out of here before this happens, we're talking about thermonuclear war. That means hydrogen bombs will be used. That means, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't about scare. And I want to make this statement. If you have fear, you need to get on your knees and pray and ask God to deliver you. Because one of the promises that King David, who had fear, good night, he claimed being insane. And that's a nice thing about those of us who have beards. We can drool on them and say, well, God, it worked for David. Help it to work for me. But the point I think that's really critical is that fear, King David, guy that took out Goliath, guy that just was braver than brave, a lion and a bear before he took out Goliath, a shepherd. But he said, blessed be the name of the Lord who delivers me from all my fears. The only thing that can displace the fear of all this is coming on. I'm going to make a statement, Doug. The reverential awe, which the Bible calls the fear of the Lord, the reverential awe, the trust in the living God, the understanding of God is on his people's side. But if they reject it, like you said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because he doesn't present it. Surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Where is the testimony of Jesus and all these prophets? And there's 400 false prophets to every one true prophet in the Old Testament. Excuse me, the Old Testament. The Old Testament's very clear, 400 to 1. I said to somebody the other day, I think it was on my podcast, go out and look up prophecy on YouTube and just see if there's, I don't know, because I'm not on YouTube. I mean, I'm physically not on YouTube. And by the way, any pictures or any supposed postings of my podcast, any of the pirated stuff from Doug and I, that's all not us. That's pirates. And it's interesting, a lot of them are in Southeast Asia and they earn some money. And, you know, there's nothing I can do, but go out and look if there's a way to tabulate it. How many prophecies are there? The only prophecy I know that was basically claimed by so many was the fact that Donald Trump would become president. There's no prophecy. I was on Coast to Coast before I even ran saying Trump is going to run for presidency. And I think George asked me, are you endorsing him? And I said, George, the same people that hate him hate me. So at this point, at the point he was standing for in principle, but not in factual or in implementation, and I said he would become president. But I also said, Doug, remember this. I said, God will use him to divide the nation. He has been called the most divisive president in history. How long ago was he called that? Gee, Bill Barr, was it Bill Barr or Bob Barr? Or Bill Barr.
Bill Barr,
Yeah. The former attorney general basically said he's the most divisive president in history. And I think it's important that people put into the context of the day they live. I don't have to convince anybody that you go to the store one a month and you're buying, let's say, two bags of grocery for $100. And now you go, depending on how you eat, there are people who have different, expenses, different, but the average family cannot afford it. Someone who wants to drive, or especially California, look at where it's interesting, isn't it? The highest state with commuting people who are employed is in California. The highest prices for gasoline are in California. It hit $8 a gallon, not everywhere, but it's interesting. And I noticed this, Doug, that the price of gasoline is scaled to the affluence of different communities. But when people say, well, how am I going to get my job? I'll lose my job. This is the hardest thing I know how to say. Our jobs are going to disappear. Our hireability is going to disappear. I had to take the injection. I know a guy that I respect, but he said, I had to take the injection to keep my job, but I wouldn't let my wife or children take it. I said, then you understand, you were willing to basically take something that can take your life from you. And he said, yes. Well, there's no point in arguing. There's no point in telling him all of the results of the vaccine. One of the biggest, I won't even mention because I don't want to do that, a slam and jam, but one of the most famous evangelists in the United States took the vaccine, promoted the vaccine to all of his followers, and then had a heart attack. No issues of heart issues. But every time something happens, athletes dropping dead, women having spontaneous abortions, women hemorrhaging, women dying, heart issue. And now they're claiming, well, the heart, people are dying because, and this is true, that people are dying in the sports and on the sports field because the whistle is scaring them. Are you kidding me? The most nonsensical bunch of BS that's ever been promoted. And again, it's like, what will the American people believe? Only a lie. That's my statement.
And let me ask you, Steve, because you mentioned this. I have two questions, all right? The first question goes back to what you said. So I'm going to go back a little bit, if you don't mind. You said, of course, Donald Trump would be the most divisive president that we've had. My question about that, is it Donald Trump who is divisive, or is it the mechanisms behind the media and the others who are making him appear or making him divisive? Okay. Well, there's a difference here with a distinction.
Yeah. I would say too, Doug, both. Okay. Because again, the obvious lack of understanding of science. I know somebody that was one of his advisors and just said he's the most non-scientific man, and he's advised different presidents and advised different, you know, basically science guys who are, if you will, scientific advisors who are even not of his political or, let's just say this, his walk with Jesus, and they'll accept his advice because he's one of the only guys in the world that can do it, but they won't accept his God, you follow me, but they'll accept his advice. And he stated to me that with the president, it was all about his image. But what happened is the president's advisors were all put in place by the globalists. And this is why, notice everybody from Jeff Sessions, everybody turned on Trump. I don't know if there, tell me if there were some that didn't, but the point is when he could have, when he should have, and we didn't, that's the issue that I have. Got and it. What I have an issue is this, is that the machine is under Satan's control, under Lucifer's control, and the whole paradigm of Republican conservatives is false. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just like, you know, some of the sin capitals of the world. You've got whores on both sides of the street. Some are Republicans, some are Democrats. But at the end of the day, they both end up, and I won't use the word, but they both end up, let's say this, taking advantage of the appetites for pleasure, for money. Is that pretty well tactful?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Gary, if you're listening to this, there's Gary, one time, Gary Haven, we were on a set together, being interviewed, I think it was Jim Baker's show. And what he did is he wrote on a piece of paper, he wrote tact, T-A-C-T. Well, I don't have much of it, okay? And our standing joke is that I'm learning tact. And, you know, maybe I should have more of it. But there comes a point that we have to basically own up and fess up to where we are as a nation. We've watched our military be destroyed. We've watched a female general in Texas be relieved of duty. We see a man dressed as a woman who's the woman of the year.
Yeah, I went over that yesterday. There are no words to describe that, Steve. Again, I don't want to get you off track here, but to what you were saying, when I interrupted you, okay, about the gas prices in California, in geographically specific higher gas prices, very strategic, by the way. This picture here, if you don't mind, okay, this is a Tesla charging station. If you notice what's on the ground next to this man's leg is a gas generator to charge the electric vehicle. The reason I put this up now is, Steve, looking at that picture, how can anyone with any brain cells believe in the lie that is this great reset, this huge encompassing agenda? And
You look at that picture, and that should tell you everything you need to know. But, okay, in terms of delusion, when it comes to the green agenda and electric vehicles and gas and such, but I digress. But I guess delusion is – so I've got no time for tech. If we've got the possibility of mushroom clouds, in our rearview mirror – well, in our – through the windshield – the hell with tact and the hell with wanting to please everybody. It's time for truth, brother. And you bring it.
I understand. That was just a humorous anecdote.
Yeah.
I understand that not everybody will, I could tell the truth and there are people that dislike me so much. That's not the issue. It's not the people that dislike me. It's the people that will listen to me. And by listening to me, their lives will be saved. For instance, preppers. Preppers have a mindset different from those who are dependentees, okay? And dependentees with a T, T-E-S, those who are dependent are going to be absolutely forced. And I believe, Doug, again, that it's critical. Now, the joke on the Teslas are, most people don't understand what goes into the batteries for Teslas. Obviously, the founder of the company does, Elon Musk. But the idea, and already they're talking about charging electric vehicle owners a rather substantial amount of money. This is a law that's in the background for your highway use because gasoline taxes supposedly, support and fund highway renovations and maintenance. So what good does it do? And the joke is electricity prices are rising. A good friend of mine who goes to all the auctions at Barrett Jackson, at Mecum, and all the big ones, even the Pebble Beach, I mean, the high dollar stuff. He said the joke is that pretty much the people that get those things, and a lot of people, it's a neat idea. But they don't realize the cost of electricity without coal. The cost of electricity is going to be unfathomable. So again, the joke is, Doug, that they had to rely on hydrocarbons to power their generator to charge their Tesla. I tell people, those of you who want to go buy a car, get them now because there will be no cars available in a number of months. We've already seen that during the COVID scare. Entire car lots. We have some big dealerships in Bozeman. I mean, big dealerships probably have 800 cars on the lot, didn't have one. People who can buy, and I don't drive a Toyota, but I'm saying buy a Toyota Camry, get about 40 miles a gallon. You can buy a Corolla if you don't live in the weather, but get them now. They're going to be unavailable. Now, why is that, Doug? Well, interestingly enough, Russia and the Ukraine, and Russia controls it there too, the neon gas is what is needed. 95% neon gas of purity is needed to make integrated circuits. I'm sure maybe you didn't know that. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that until last week, yeah.
Yeah. And I think we talked about it then. So everything that is a sanction, and I would call it a sanctimonious sanction on Russia, hey, go ahead, mock it, ladies and gentlemen. Just like a third of Americans are willing to have nuclear war in Ukraine. Are you willing to have it in your backyard? Because you will. You will. Again, ladies and gentlemen, see, because we have this idea, and I want to make it clear, we in the United States forget who started the whole nuclear war narrative and dialogue. It was the United States. Senator Wicker, I would call him Wacker, as in not thinking, Biden, and behind the scenes, you guys, the New World Order, the globalists, the Luciferian. And I want to say this. Those who believe in Bible prophecy, every time you hear the word Great Reset, put equals Great Tribulation. Because you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. Isn't that interesting, Doug? We've been preaching that, or the preachers that used to preach the Word of God, been preaching that for decades, maybe hundreds of years. And now we're at the point without the digital ID, and it will happen overnight. That's what I'm told. It will happen overnight. It happening overnight is a complete, what would I say? I was going to use the word revulsion, but the complete declaration that 155 nations will not take the U.S. dollar anymore. And so what's going to be, that's so astonishing, but we're watching it. And even I think, I don't know if it was Bill Maher or not the super conservative guys, but they're saying, look, nobody will even talk to Biden. In other words, he's become a pariah nation. And I believe this with all my heart, take it to the Lord in prayer, that God separates nations that do evil in his sight from all other nations except those he raises up to judge the nation. That's evil. Ladies and gentlemen, wow. We butchered 250 million little babies. We butchered them. If you understood that every time the elitists, the Illuminists, most importantly, the Luciferians, are called to a meeting, whether it's a satanic high day, and I understand not all Satanists claim to be Luciferians, but those who practice human sacrifice are always, it's always mandatory. Those who have pledged their allegiance to Lucifer bring a sacrifice, a human sacrifice. And they're usually young children because the devil has such a rage at children because they look, he sees them as the next generation to be raised. Again, 10 plagues in Exodus, devil jumped the gun. He went just straight for the children. We're watching the pro-demonic Mengele twins in history promoting childhood vaccines. That's criminal. You are an accessory to murder if you allow your children to be vaccinated, especially at a toddler's age. Well, most people, Doug, are so self-righteous. Well, that's just crazy. But you see what happens to the truth? The truth is basically, how should I say this? Lucificated, okay? Lucificated, new word for Hagman listeners, lucificated, because they're shamed. Again, you're shamed if you basically even want to have a reasonable explanation, a scientific explanation. Science no longer exists, only the agenda. And I'm thinking, ladies and gentlemen, if we understood the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, you watch the 13th rule play down on President Trump. Now, again, you've got to understand, you can look at both sides of the equation and make a really come to a great conclusion, because the 13th rule is you keep attacking, you keep attacking, you keep attacking. When you can't win a point, in essence, it's proven to be a lie, then you go on to the next lie. That's what we're watching. In my opinion, we're watching the 13th rule of the Rules for Radical to basically, that's the predominant mindset in this whole Ukraine situation. They're doing to Russia what the 13th rule for radicals, and by the way, that book is dedicated to Lucifer. It's Hillary Clinton's favorite book.
You know, you've come full circle here, Steve. Godly defiance versus satanic compliance. We are about 45 seconds away from the end of the program. I can't believe how, again, full circle with respect to the information. This was one of the most important downloads of information you have ever given. And I think people really need to sit up, take notice, pay attention, stand up, but also hit your knees in repentance as well. Steve, 30 seconds. It's yours.
30 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, there's never been a time like this, nor would be again. And except God shorten the days, I can't end with anything more important than this. There'd be no flesh left alive. You are watching the extinction protocols of Lucifer himself, which will end in the annihilation of mankind, lest God himself steps in and shortens the day. But those of you who are saying, and I know we're running out of time, those who want nuclear war, you will have it in your backyard. And I tell people, you won't view it on TV. You'll view it in reality. And go read Zechariah 14:12. I'll let Zechariah 14:12 speak to everybody. I know if 100 people tell me you're wrong, Steve, I still stand what I believe the Lord has shown me.
Steve, I want to thank you so very much for all you do, all you've done, and that you continue to do. Folks, thank you so very much for tuning in. Please share this far and wide. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com. And again, God bless you, my brother. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you, Doug. All right.